When is Christ Coming Back? By Randall Smith. In the movie Fiddler on the Roof, when the Jewish people in the fictional town of Anatevka are tragically evicted from their homes by the Russian government, one of them asks the town's beloved rabbi, "Rabbi, we've been waiting all our lives for the Messiah. Wouldn't this be a good time for him to come?" To which the rabbi replies, "We'll have to wait for him someplace else. Meanwhile, let's start packing." Christians likely find it sad that there are those who don't recognize the first coming of the Messiah, but we might also have deep respect for anyone who can say honestly that, in the midst of all the trials and tribulations, his or her life has been devoted to watching and waiting for the Messiah. I hope I will not seem too much like a Grinch if I remind people that the Advent season isn't only about the first coming of Christ. Anyone listening to the readings at Mass will know that the Church during this season is for the most part directing our attention to His advent at the end of time when the Son of Man will come in clouds with great power and glory. Mark 13, verse 26. The twofold directive we are given repeatedly about this is that we are to stay awake, for no one knows the day or the hour, and the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Revelation 16, verse 15. Matthew 24, verse 43, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2-4, Mark 13, verses 24-37. When the subject of the second coming comes up in class, I remind my students that, since no one knows the day or the hour, and it will come like a thief in the night, in all honesty, and I mean this seriously, he might come before the end of class. By the same token, I tell them, since as 2 Peter 3, verse 8 tells us, "A thousand years for us is like a day for God. If it's going to happen in a week in God time, that would be 7,000 years. So they better go ahead and study for the final. But keep alert. I sometimes ask my students what they would want Christ to find them doing upon his return. Plotting some evil? Surfing the web pointlessly? Binge-watching some mind-numbing show? Spreading more gossip on their iPhone? What would we say if Christ asked, "So, my child, what are you doing with the life and all the gifts I gave you? You people in the United States? I left you with 10,000 talents. What have you done with them?" Do we really want to have to say, "Oh, well, they're here somewhere, I think"? Personally, I like to take a short nap in the afternoon. I sometimes worry that Christ will come then. I mean, it seems to be one of the most popular times for people to interrupt me, so it's altogether possible. And if he comes, what would be my reply if he asked, "What are you doing? Didn't I say repeatedly, stay awake"? I would prefer that the Lord find me dutifully washing dishes for my wife or grading student papers, and then I might hear, "Good and faithful servant." But that's not as likely as him finding me napping or procrastinating to avoid washing dishes or grading student papers. And what would I say then? "But Lord, you know everything. You know I hate doing those things." Because then I'm likely to be reminded, "Didn't I say, pick up your cross daily and follow me?" All right. Scholars will sometimes say that, in the early church, there was confusion about whether Christ's return, the parousia, would be soon after his death or whether it would be a while. So, for example, in a 2018 article by Mark Keown begins, "It is commonly held in NT scholarship that there was expectation of an imminent parousia within the first generation of the church." For example, I.H. Marshall, writing in 1970, states, "In this point, there is complete agreement among scholars. It is commonly viewed that this hope was dashed and that later writings that reflect the church dealing with the so-called delay of the parousia. The expectation of an imminent parousia is especially held from Mark's gospel, especially Mark 9, verse 1, 13:30, and the undisputed Pauline epistles, e.g. Romans 13, verse 12. 1 Cor 7:26, Philippians 4 verse 5. Keown argues against this view, claiming that, although it is likely that there were at least some Christians who considered that the parousia was imminent, e.g. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 1-2, 2 Peter 3 verse 4, it unlikely the authors of Mark and the Pauline corpus held to a view of an imminent parousia. Professor Keown notes that he is not the only person to argue against an imminent parousia in Mark and Paul, and cites a host of scholarly sources to back up that claim. So, I guess there's not complete agreement. But I'm less interested in that discussion right at the moment than in the value there is in our being unclear on the question. Christ made clear, no one knows the day or the hour. It will come like a thief in the night. So we need to be alert. What would we want Christ to find us doing with our lives if he came back right now, before the end of the day today? The second coming could be a lot more imminent than you think. Then again, it could still be a while. So we'd better be about our business. Or to be more precise, we better be about his business. That, I would suggest, is what the Advent season is about. It shouldn't detract any from the joy of Christmas to realize that the fullest joy is still to come. It's not as though the world is all good. There's still plenty of work to be done. The Messiah who came, the Word who became flesh, will return. He should find us making the way straight.